It's 2:07 on the John Phillips Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from the studios in Culver City. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wags across the glass in the sports desk.
John, it's Thursday at 2 o'clock, which means the fake doctor is having a weekly press conference about COVID. Should we check in real quick to see if she's pronouncing Omicron?
Let's dip in.
This past week, we have been tracking the emergence and spread of Omicron. Labeled a variant.
What was it today? That sounds like some sort of ocean spray drink. Omicron?
I'm playing this live off YouTube. Let me see it. Go back to it.
Tracking the emergence and spread of Omicron. Labeled.
That sounds like a new cranberry cocktail.
For the identification of Omicron.
As we know, those are all incorrect. Joe Biden got it right the first time when he inserted an extra letter into it.
It's called the Omicron.
It does sound better that way.
It's the Omicron.
It sounds like some planet that would be in existence in a superhero movie.
They've been tracking the emergence and spread of Omicron.
Now, because everyone on TV is mispronouncing it, there's no way I'm going to ever pronounce it correctly ever again.
What are the chances that when we get into the question answer portion of this press conference, Ron Lynn asked Dr. Barbara Ferrer if she feels vindicated?
No, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, they should have stuck with chi. It's one syllable. Everyone can pronounce it. For those of us in broadcasting, it makes life a whole lot easier.
It's called the Omicron.
Oh, no. All right. So last hour, I mentioned that I talked to Eric Bauman, who's our next guest, the former chairman of the Democratic Party here in California. And we talked about a bunch of subjects, but one of them was, I'm going to dinner in Pasadena. I need a restaurant. And he says, oh, yeah, that's easy. The Arroyo Chop House, and have the ribeye. And I went there, and I mentioned I went to the Arroyo Chop House, and I had the ribeye. I'd never heard of it before. I'd never eaten there before. And ever since I said that, there has been a parade of people that have come into this room saying, how could you not have heard of the Arroyo Chop House? Apparently, everyone was aware of this but me. So anyway, joining us is the man who gave me that good advice yesterday, the former chairman of the California Democratic Party, Eric Bauman. Eric, welcome.
I must tell you, the Smith brothers in Pasadena work so hard at making their restaurants a place that both Democrats and Republicans can feel welcome, with really good food and really good service. And at least two of their restaurants that are side by side are the stars for me. And in fact, my birthday's coming up in just about 8 days, and I'll probably end up having dinner at one of those two restaurants next week.
The only people who are screwed there are vegans.
Yeah, because they don't even eat fish. But then again, wait a second. If you've dedicated your life to eating soy and plastic, okay, I'm sorry. I know there's lots of vegans on my side of the aisle, but I mean, the very thought of that as a diet just doesn't make it for me. I can't stand soy, and I don't want to eat the plastic. And so my friend said to me, you know, you could try these, because I keep kosher, said, you know, you should try these vegan sausages. They're really good. And so we went to the store, and we found the vegan sausages, and while they're kosher, I looked at the ingredients, and after you got through the first 74 chemicals, I'm thinking to myself, how does anybody eat this crap?
Anything
you understand, if any of my radio listeners are listening to this, I am going to get so much hate email from having said that, but it's true. I mean, it's like, ugh.
Well, anything that has 75 products in it is going to stop your heart.
Yeah, well, if it doesn't stop your heart, it's surely going to stimulate your stomach.
All right.
So what's new in your kooky world?
Well, I told you, the Arroyo Chop House.
Well, you know what? Now the next time you have to go over there and you have to try the Parkway Grill. They have great steaks, and they also have fish, wonderful fish, and they have great salads, and they also have a pizza oven, and although I don't usually get them, they have very nice pizzas there. So
I'll have to give it a try.
I'm telling you.
All right. Well, I have you here. We have a midterm election that is on the horizon. Now, they used to say the midterm election is on the horizon when election day, at least you could see it in the distance. Now, it's just nonstop elections. It's nonstop talking about elections. And people are talking about this midterm as if it's tomorrow. So since people are thinking about it that way, I want to pick your brain and see where you think we are right now as we look to the midterm elections.
Well, I have to start with one really important and simple point that people shouldn't forget. In most of the country, and especially here in California, we don't have a clue what the districts are going to look like. You know, there are maybe 18 states, Republican states, that have already completed their redistricting, although there are already court challenges in half a dozen of those. And there are probably three or four Democratic states that have completed theirs. But in a lot of other states, they have independent commissions or some version of that. And in some cases, they have to go to the legislature to be approved. So in reality, we don't know where we're at because we don't know what they look like. Look, conventional wisdom says in the midterm election of a new president's first term, the new president's side always loses. But that is, you know, that is complicated by the fact that you have this crazy internal battle going on amongst Republicans, moderates versus conservatives. Oh, and you have this crazy battle going on amongst Democrats, moderates versus progressives. So it's really kind of difficult to, you know, hold your finger in the wind and say, here's what I really think is going to happen. Here would be my bet if I had to bet today. Democrats probably lose the House. Democrats probably hold the Senate. That would be my guess today.
One of the things that happens whenever they draw the district lines is gerrymandering, especially if the state legislature draws it, not an independent commission. It's nothing new. It's named after Elbridge Gerry going way back hundreds of years ago. They've been doing that
from Massachusetts.
That's right.
The first district was shaped like a salamander, which is how they got to. No, it's true. That's how they got to the mander part of it. His name was Gerry, and it looked like a salamander, so it was gerrymander. That's how they got that name.
Well, a lot has changed since then in terms of the technology that they have at their fingertips to use to draw these districts. How much has that technology changed the game when it comes to drawing these districts?
Well, I will tell you, in my years in state government, as you can imagine, the state legislature has a deep interest in what those lines are going to look like. And the demographers that work on behalf of the state assembly and the state senate, these guys could literally sit there with their GIS maps and key in the data of what the districts were supposed to look like. And then, you know, they could literally, like, just grab and pull the line, say, five blocks to make sure that somebody's house got in that district, right? And it would automatically recalculate. And I'll give you an example, and I'm going to use the city of Los Angeles just because it's so easy. There are 15 city council districts in the city of Los Angeles. And based on the last crappy Trump's census, oh, did I say that? Based on the last census, I'm just needling you. No, but based on the last census, each council district has to have pretty roughly 260,000 people in it. So now there's been, you know, fighting back and forth because this incumbent member didn't like what the city commission did, and this incumbent feels like they took this part away. And so they could fix and move and change it. And it's literally, instead of being a process that used to take hours of people pouring over this stuff, they grab a line on a map and they pull it. I mean, that's literally what they do.
Well, more often than not, they draw it to try to keep everyone happy. They want to make sure if you're an elected, you're an incumbent, they keep you in your district. Unless they don't like you, and then they can draw you out of your district and make you sell your house and buy a new one.
Well, we have one city council member in Los Angeles, using that again as an example, who is losing 40% of her district. You can guess as well as I can guess why they did it. Now, at the state level and at the federal level in California, Assembly, State, Senate, and Congress, it is done by an independent commission. The independent commission is made up of 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, and 4 independents or small party members. And those people are not picked by the legislature. I think the legislature gets to have like a preemptory challenge to one person on each side. And this is a different picture because nobody can control them. They don't owe anybody anything. At least ostensibly, they don't owe anybody anything. And it has made significant changes. Now, back to the census for a minute, and I don't know how much longer we actually have, but I'll just say this. Because of the way the census was done under the prior administration, the Commerce Department, who oversees the drawing, the performance of the census count, did not do exhaustive outreach to people of color, to Latinos and people of color. In the prior census, when President Obama was president, there was significant investment made in ensuring that African Americans and Latinos and Asian Americans all were included or participated. This time, not so much. And so in areas like L.A. and Orange County, where there are large, significant populations of Latino people, for example, we know there are undercounts, significant undercounts. And so, to quote the president of the L.A. City Council, we know that the city of L.A. didn't get wider and didn't get richer. But the way the census turned out, you would think that. So there are a lot of surprises before us. And remember, we lost a seat for the first time ever in Congress because although we did have population growth, it had slowed significantly. And no, there was not a factor of people leaving California. I know everybody likes to say that. That's not true. That's a myth. I mean, there are people leaving California, but not in any consequential numbers to change these things. So we don't know how this is going to happen. I've been looking at the getting close to final drafts of the maps for the state legislature. I have not seen the congressional maps, the close to final map, congressional maps. And there are definitely going to be some surprises. And so, for example, in Orange County, Katie Porter, who had a 12-point advantage Democratic registration over Republican 2 years ago, if the district holds up as it looked like they were redrawing it, she'll only have a 6-point advantage. A 12-point advantage is very hard to overcome. 6 points is within the realm of being able to overcome it. So I think there's going to be more of that than we realize, but we won't know until, I think it's December 26th, is when they have to finalize those maps.
Talk to me about the differences in psyches between Republicans and Democrats when they draw up a map, when they gerrymander a map. So take Ohio, for example. That's a state that Republicans are in control of, and they get to draw the lines to their advantage. They don't care what types of candidates get elected. They just want Republicans elected. They're looking at it in a very partisan sort of way. When Democrats When Democrats draw the lines in places like New York or Illinois, Do they draw it the same way where they're just trying to draw it to get Democrats, or do they draw it to get a certain type of Democrat? We want a Latino seat. We want a black seat. We want an Asian seat.
So let's step back, and do we have enough time to...
We have about 3 minutes.
...through this exercise? Okay. So here's what Republicans have done in many places across the country that was not expected. Ohio actually was an exception. So we'll take Texas as an example. Texas has traditionally been a Republican state, but it's been trending more and more blue, and it gained seats in the census. But Republicans know that the demographic is moving against them. There's an increasing number of Latinos and African Americans, but especially Latinos. So everybody expected that Republicans would pick up at least 2 seats in Texas. And as it turns out, the map that they drew was more about solidifying the existing Republicans than about adding seats. In Illinois, the opposite side, Democrats know that they have a lot of room to wiggle room. And so they're drawing lines that will add Democrats for sure, as they're doing in New York. Ohio Republicans were able to add Republicans. But in other states where people expected significant increases in Republican seats, they haven't done that because, oddly enough, as crazy as this whole thing has been, the Republicans who've been overseeing the redistricting have said, we're better off to ensure that for the next 10 years we can hold these seats. So if that means Democrats get to hold their seats, that's fine. But what's most important is that we hold our seats. That's how they're drawing the lines. Democrats are kind of a mix, and this is one of the problems with being a Democrat. We have so many people running around who are so quote unquote good government people. They don't, you know, they don't want to make the fight about fairness. I mean, they want to make the fight about fairness. Whereas partisan hacks like me say, if I can pick up 3 seats in California, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up 3 seats in California. But that's because while I want a good democracy and a good government, you know, I don't want to win. And I'm not running for public office. I didn't before. I'm not going to now. That's not my bailiwick. So there's really a split on this in multiple ways, John, and I think that's important to note, because while I think Republicans are advantaged by it, I think there's also another issue, and hopefully we have enough time for me to make this point.
You have about 60 seconds.
Okay, so Donald Trump has endorsed a bunch of candidates against the wishes of the leadership in the House, but especially in the Senate. And in Georgia, he's playing around, he's messing around in both the governor's race and in the Secretary of State's race. So here you have Stacey Abrams jump in on the Democratic side, who narrowly lost 4 years ago. And because Trump is in there defying what the traditional Republican leadership wants, Stacey Abrams is actually in contention, notwithstanding the fact that this is likely to be a less than good year for Democrats. So I think we've got a lot to learn as we go forward and see how the districts ultimately end up. And the former president's going to have to decide whether he wants to grow the red team or whether it's all about his bitterness, anger, and wanting retribution.
All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing we know for sure. Next time you come on, I'm going to expect another restaurant recommendation as good as the last one.
All right, I'll give you Chinese next time.
All right, sounds good. Eric Bauman, former chairman of the California Democratic Party, thanks so much for coming on.
And I will be glad to have you on my show on another network, hopefully next month.
All right, sounds good. Eric Bauman, everyone. I'll tell you, because TiVo and streaming services like Hulu and Netflix, there isn't a lot of TV that's appointment viewing. But I'm going to tell you something right now. My butt is going to be on the couch watching ABC to see this Alec Baldwin interview live. I am not going to miss it.
Apparently, the assistant director has come out and defended Alec Baldwin, saying he didn't see him fire the gun either.
Well, guns just don't go off.
What if it malfunctioned?
So what? It's the DC sniper that did it? I never pulled the trigger. Okay, well, how'd she get shot? And how'd the other guy get shot, too? Because two people were shot.
Well, the bullet went through the one person.
Yeah, but someone had to pull the trigger for the bullet to go through the one person and into the next.
Well, Baldwin is saying, and what the assistant director is saying as well, is nobody pulled the trigger.
Okay, so how did the bullet get discharged?
Maybe there was, it's an old gun. Maybe it was broken. Maybe there's something wrong with the trigger.
Guns don't just shoot themselves.
Well, apparently this one did, and that's what George Stephanopoulos is going to take as fact when he talks to Alec Baldwin.
How could you just leave that out there and not follow up?
And listen, next week, Baldwin's doing a 2020 interview, so maybe they'll get Barbara Walters for that one.
I'm not out to embarrass anyone. Anytime someone comes on this show, they're welcome. It's like having a guest over for dinner. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be nasty. But if you tell me something that I know isn't true, I'm going to say, wait a minute. Well, John, the gun just went off. It just fired itself. I didn't pull the trigger. Don't look at me about the trigger. I don't know anything about the trigger. I didn't pull the trigger. I'd say, wait a minute, Alec. That doesn't seem right. How'd those two people get shot if you didn't pull the trigger?
Most people on Twitter agree with you on this point. But I'm telling you, that's what he's saying, and that's what the assistant director is also saying. He didn't pull that trigger.
What's that fake Spanish wife of his have to say?
I don't know, because he told her to shut up.
You notice, do we still have the sound of that impromptu press conference on the side of the road?
I have to figure out when that was, but I'll find it.
She had the fake accent when she was interrupting him at the press conference, and he told her to shut up, and I think he said, will you please? Please.
Please, please, I'm speaking.
Please, I'm speaking. Stop, Hilaria. Anyway, that's what I'll be doing. You find it?
No. It's harder to find.
All right. Well, let's take a break. Maybe we'll find that. We also have an update on the smash and grab at the Nordstrom. If you get a gift that looks like it came from Nordstrom and there's still one of those ink situations on it, my guess is the person wants a sledgehammer in return. Just a little shopping advice. In fact, all right, let's take a call. Let's go to Mike in L.A.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Yes. Hi. Great
Hi.
Show. I'm trying to save California too, like a million other people. I can't understand why Baldwin didn't come out the first time he was interviewed and say, I didn't shoot him. I didn't fire the gun. But he didn't do that. He just said nothing.
No, he blamed the ballistics woman for allowing a live round to be in the gun. That's what he did at first. He was blaming them.
Yes, exactly. But he didn't say, no, I didn't shoot him. I didn't shoot her.
No, this is a new one.
Like that. Yeah, and it's new. And then you go, hey, there's a party in our state that they just have to keep lying to save having to say, I did it. I'm sorry.
Well, here's what That's I think happened. When he said, whoever it was that was supposed to keep an eye on the gun allowed a live round in there, the next question becomes, well, who hired them? And if he was the producer of the movie, that means he did.
Absolutely. But the way everybody is dancing, you'd think somebody's shooting at their feet. And no pun intended.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. and so, because it's just so many different things people are saying right now that don't make any sense.
Well, now what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to say he didn't pull the trigger and he didn't hire the woman to be in charge of the guns. I never pulled the trigger. I never hired the woman.
It becomes very laughable.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Sadly enough.
All right.
I think I found a little flavor of what you were looking for. This is when Alec Baldwin was on the side of the road doing an interview with a reporter in Vermont, and the wife wanted to make sure that her voice got heard as
and
well.
Note the fake accent. She's sticking with the fake accent. She is not from Spain. She is from Massachusetts. She developed the fake accent so she could do yoga on Instagram and sell books.
They're mortified.
You guys, you know what? No details.
But do me a favor. I'm gonna answer the question.
Oh my God! I'll tell you what. The look on his face when he had to tell her to knock it off. I'm telling you, that marriage is over. There's no way that marriage is going to last. You could see he stuck with her through the scandal of her lying about being Spanish. He took a lot of slings and arrows on the internet for that. He's a laughingstock because of it. And he knows it. He's online. He sees it. He participates sometime. So I'm sure he figures, hey, I'm giving up a lot to protect you. Whatever you do, don't make me look like a fool again. And then he's giving this press conference for some reason on the side of the road in Vermont. Why he chose that space, I don't know. But then she had to humiliate him yet again by jumping in and interrupting his press conference as she was taping it with her phone. Like she's going to put it in some kind of scrapbook or something. Oh, Alec, you remember that time you gave the press conference on the side of the road after you shot those two people? And then not only does she interrupt him while she's taping it, she interjects herself with the fake accent.
You know, you could look at that from the other point of view as well, in that she stood by him through, you know, getting arrested for speeding and smoking in New York. She stood by him when he accidentally shot somebody on the set, but then he shushed her.
You know what, though? I'll say this about Alec Baldwin, and he and I politically agree on nothing. I've defended him in the past. I have. If the paparazzi were following me around, I'd be sour, too. And when he called his daughter a filthy little pig, it was her fault. Because the court said they were supposed to have a time for him to talk to her on the phone, and she didn't answer the phone when he called. So from my point of view, she was a filthy little pig. Now, she may have been a minor.
I have to correct you.
What?
It wasn't filthy little pig. It was rude, thoughtless little pig.
Do we have that on tape?
Got to dig in the deep archives for that one, but give me a few minutes.
All right, let's take a break. Maybe we'll have that. We'll have an update on the Nordstrom smash and grab. I'm watching this Alec Baldwin thing tonight. No one's going to stop me. Alec Baldwin is sitting down with ABC News to talk about shooting those two people on a movie set in New Mexico. Now, this is not his first controversy. Randy, he has many controversies.
It was, gosh, 14 years ago, 13, 14 years ago, 2007, when Alec Baldwin was all over TMZ, when TMZ was like the biggest thing on the internet, because a voicemail was leaked of Alec Baldwin screaming at his daughter because his daughter wouldn't answer the phone when he's supposed to call her. And he was very upset about the fact that she would never dream of doing that to her mother, Kim Basinger, but she'd do it to him.
Let's hear it.
Here is a little snippet of that magical piece of history.
And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
To replay.
All right. If I got to be fair here, Alec was totally in the right.
She was a rude, thoughtless little pig.
She should have answered the phone. As far as I'm concerned, she had it coming. For an update on the Nordstrom smash and grab, here's Randy Wang.
That's right. In Walnut Creek, between 50 and 80 people 2 weeks ago all went into a Nordstrom, smashed them with the hammers, grabbed as much stuff as they could. The cops were only able to arrest a handful of people. And what do you know? One of the people they arrested was in the Contra Costa jail system, and a paperwork mix-up told him that he was free to go.
I can't believe they'd let that rude, thoughtless little pig out of jail.
You are a rude, little pig, okay?
Are you going to watch the Alec Baldwin special?
I will be watching it tomorrow morning so I can cut sound for it for this show, because I'm sure you're going to want to play some of his responses, as Alec Baldwin will reiterate time and time again that he was holding the gun, but he did not pull the trigger.
I just want to make this very clear. I never pulled the trigger.
You
got that?
A rude, thoughtless little pig.
And I never pulled the trigger.
See you tomorrow.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.